Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Today is November 15th, and Rizzo returns to the Yankees. So let's talk all about it, and let's talk some Yanks.
Talking Yanks with old John Boy, John Boy and Jake.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Jake actually is not here. Maybe he'll call in. We're trying to reach out. He hasn't had service. He's in St. Lucia on holiday. But that doesn't stop the fact that the Rizzos signed the Yankees, is the news there. The Yankees locked up Rizzo, and something had to happen today if you weren't following along incredibly closely, because the qualifying offer decision needed to be made today from Rizzo. The Yankees offered him the qualifying offer, which was 1 year, $19 million. So he could say no to that. He becomes a free agent, or he can say yes to that, and he's with the Yankees for 1 year, $19 million. Or the two parties can negotiate to come to a different agreement before he goes and hits free agency. Now, a lot of people thought he might take the qualifying offer. Actually, I was the opposite for a while because I thought he wanted more years. But the $19 million as a base salary is pretty good. There's no shift next year, and the short porch still exists, so he could use next year to up his stats and then become a free agent again and then chase that 2-3 year deal. Rosenthal wrote that in The Athletic, and I was like, ooh, that's interesting. Maybe he accepts the qualifying offer. That's exciting. That would be nice. That didn't happen. The Yankees negotiated, and it's best of both worlds for Rizzo, because the bottom line numbers is now he has signed a 2-year contract, and he's guaranteed $40 million. Now, there's some funky baseball math here. His average salary per year is $17 million. He's getting $17 million for the first year of the contract. He's getting $17 million for the second year of the contract. Then, at that point, the Yankees have a club option. They can pick it up, and now he's a Yankee for a third year at 17 again, BBD, or?
Yeah, the third year is 17 again, so it maxes out at 51 mil.
So it maxes out at 51 mil. If the Yankees pick up that option, he gets another $17 million. If the Yankees decide they do not want to pick up that option, they buy him out of the contract for $6 million, which gets you to the guaranteed $40 million. So in Rizzo's mind, he could be like, they're giving me 20 mil a year. I don't care how you guys divide it up for the league and the luxury tax. I'm getting 20 mil a year.
He turned down 16 million and gets 40. So he cleared that bet.
Yeah, he turned down 1 year, 19 mil?
16. And he turned down 19 for the qualifying offer as well.
Yeah.
And he turned down 16 and immediately was offered 19.6.
So. Yes. So it's a good deal for Rizzo. He's getting his money. And it's a good deal for the Yankees. It's a good start, because we kept saying, you know, the big one is coming up. Judge is the big one, obviously. But if you lost Rizzo and you lost Judge, both of them, now Judge is, you know, 80% of this, but if you lost both of them, it's bizarre. Don't even look at the roster without those names involved. They bring Rizzo back. Rizzo and Judge were incredibly close. I think, you know, you hope the bias in you as Yankees fans is saying that this would help Judge, as long as the Yankees meet the price point that they should and are fair and take care of them, that hopefully Judge and Rizzo, who became fast friends and hung out a ton, are saying, dude, let's run this back together. Let's do it. So that's obviously, I think a lot of Yankees fans, Judge is always in the mind. You go to that and like, maybe this can lead to that. If it doesn't, still got Rizzo. And there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about with Rizzo next year, because the short porch is still there. He had 32 homers. The batting average went down in Yankee Stadium. It was 224 last year. That's incredibly low. BBD, he had 104 hits in 130 games. If DraftKings has a line, which I don't know if they do, they may actually have a line for Rizzo's over-under hits without the shift, I wonder what it would be. It's something I will be checking out for on DraftKings when I go to the app, the sports book, and look at it, because I am so interested in these lefties' hits without the shift next year. It is going to be a different version of baseball, and I'm very excited about it. If you want to go check it out, maybe sprinkle some cash on it, you can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOMBOY. You can also, right now, you don't have to wait for the Rizzo thing, you can make any $5 bet this week on the NBA, and you get $200 in free bets if your team wins. You take that $200, you put it on the over, Rizzo hits, all right? And then it's only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code JOMBOY. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. He had 104 hits last year. He had 123 the year before that. His average per year is, what, 156? Without the shift, but still the short porch, because he sacrificed some base hits for the short porch, which a lot of lefties do at Yankee Stadium. And it's actually not so much because of the short porch. There was an awesome, awesome study about this. I think it was Petriello or Eno or Baseball Savant.
Up one of their alleys.
That because the shift exists, picture Yankee Stadium, how shallow it is. Now, instead of having an outfield, you have no outfield. You have like a ladder. You have first base and then a second baseman, and then you have the infielder there, third base or whatever, shortstop, whoever slides over. Then a second baseman in shallow, and then the outfielder playing deep. So they were saying that BABIP, batting average on balls in play for lefties at these Yankee Stadium and other parks, is dead. You're not going to hit the bloop double, or you're not going to hit the bloop single, or the ground ball with eyes single, because they got fielders everywhere. There's no grass because it's so small.
Nowhere on that side.
So, and we've heard Teixeira talk about this, McCann talk about this, and it's why they are regulating the shift, because collectively, for the last 20 years, players have said, how do I beat the shift? I hit over it, because that's what gets me paid, and going 1-for-4 with a home run is going to get me more money than going, you know, what, 2-for-4 with two singles.
Yeah. One more home, well, maybe not every, 2-for-4, but you know, however many at-bats is going to do more for you than three more hits in the same period.
But Rizzo is a guy who changes his approach. So, yeah, he's hunting that short porch for homers, and he's still going to do that. He hit 32 last year. And he hopefully can play a little more games. Doesn't have the IL stints. But now he can also play situational baseball. He was one of the few on the Yankees that could do that. And you saw it in the postseason in the last game that he, you know, just hit for singles, moved the ball around. He'll try to bunt against the shift. It's not there anymore, but he can hit against it. I'm very interested offensively what he looks like without it, especially at Yankee Stadium, where it kills lefty hitters. It kills batting average for lefty hitters. We've seen it time and time and time again, because you're getting more value out of home runs than seeing eye singles. But now it'll be a mixed bag, and sometimes he'll hit into it. Me and BBD were just looking at it. He had 104 hits last year. If he had, and we looked at 10 hits, I looked at ground balls and line drives hit 90 miles per hour or more, so kind of with speed, that were fielded by a guy who started in the grass. And there was 10, around 10 that would have fell. Well, 10 hits brings his average from 224 to 245. It's not amazing. But now say he plays 150 games or 145 games, and he's trying to do that more. He's trying to hit behind the runner on first base or find the gap here and there. If a pitcher's overpowering him, and just put it in play. Well, can he get 15 more hits? Because that raises it up to 260. 17 more hits, you're looking at 266. That's what I'm really interested about next year. And obviously the Yankees are looking at that, as any other team that signs players that are lefties and get done in by the shift, is what's the difference? So offensively, that's the profile. You're still going to get, hopefully, the 30 home runs. Hopefully more
in the neighborhood
singles, more doubles maybe, but that's the offensive profile. Defensively, the defensive metrics for first baseman stink, because
no defensive metrics like any first baseman really.
Because I feel like they value the wrong thing. Like how many scoops does a first baseman have to make every game versus how many rangy plays? I'm guessing it's like 4-1 scoops.
And like first basemen are pretty universally told, like, if it's more than a step and stay a half home. Away.
Yeah, stay home.
Don't go to your right.
So I always feel like they have that wrong. It's probably 3-1, 4-1 on scoops versus rangy plays.
So there's probably a few that are helped a little if they're good at diving at the line. Rizzo probably doesn't grade well there just because he's a lefty.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but with scoops, I know he's good. And a sense of confidence with his fielders. And, you know, if these young kids are playing at short, that's going to be really nice. Really nice comfort zone. I mean, if he wasn't there for IKF last year.
He might have actually gotten some.
They might have actually treated him how they should have and let the other kids come up and try. So defensively, it's just so nice to have a staple there, or stable, or whatever you want to say, just stability with the defense. So I'm happy about that. Lefty is important for balance in the middle, like getting the other team to go to their bullpen and change things up and have balance at the top of the order. That's really nice. And he's not a big strikeout guy, right?
Not excessively.
He was last year. I wonder how much. That's what I'm really interested in. His offensive profile. It changed when he came to Yankee Stadium. Struck out 101 times last year.
His strikeouts went
up from years past.
From 15 to 18. It's still not an excessive amount.
But, you know, I mean, to himself, older, hunting the porch. He.
And just consistent lefty pop and good at bats. Like the Yankees last year, like no consistent lefty power.
Yeah, and I feel like even when he was sliding, like the at bats were still good. And he's still seeing pitches and picking up tips and all that. And that brings you to like the leadership that he brings and he's been there. He's won a World Series. He's chasing something. You know, we heard that he kind of guided the Cubs to the Yankees. You know, we heard a story about how Rizzo, the year before the deadline, he was like, I'm playing for the Yankees next. Like, kind of picked them out, wants to be in pinstripes, and wanted to be part of everything.
Because of everything he's done for the Cubs, or like, they did him a solid and tried to get him to a
team. Yeah, they tried to like grant him the request and all that, which is awesome. Again, we just heard that.
Rizzo is.
I just heard that. It's something I heard, and I'm choosing. I'm choosing to believe. That's, I guess, what I'd say.
Yeah. Since being traded to the Yankees, he's signed with them again twice. So I think he at least likes it now that he came over.
That is true. He signed with them twice after being traded here. Good call. Yeah. And then you know, you need a little psychopath. And if some guy's going to try to bunt or whatever, he's going to run down the line and be in his face. And that's scary. That's really scary. So he's got that. He likes getting hit by pitches. When he came to our office, he told us that if he goes a long stretch without getting a hit by a pitch, he like knows his game is off.
Yeah, he's like not like staying in.
He's like, I'm not myself. Yeah, that's not. I'm not doing well. Yeah.
Roster resources updated. Rizzo's back in there. That's nice. They were quick.
So this is good. It's a good first step. Judge looms large. You know, I am choosing to believe that they were such good friends that they lost there together, and you want to say, let's run it back. But the Yankees still have to be the highest bidder. Judge isn't going to take, like, a lesser deal because of that.
Yeah, no. You have the Yankee, like, homer, like, Yankee fan take is like, well, Rizzo doesn't come back to the Yankees if he thinks that Judge is not interested at all in coming back or has no intention because they're so tight. That's like the homer way to put it. Also, they gave him a good deal. It's good for everybody, I think.
And you know what this does now? This sets up the next trade. Because DJ is going to get healthy. He's on contract. They need DJ's offensive profile there really bad. And they need DJ to be DJ, and hopefully he is. And DJ can play second base. And DJ can play third base. And the Yankees have Donaldson, who I know what they've been saying in the quotes, but I don't fully believe any. I really don't even go out of my way to listen to what Cashman and Boone are saying right now, because they're just going to say that every person on the roster is great and they're
excited. Have no reason to say otherwise, especially for a guy that has that kind of money attached.
Glaber, Donaldson. I think one of them is going to get traded. And then the way they're talking about these rookies makes me really think that they're going to try and trade one of the Oswaldo to package with Donaldson and try to dump him in similar vein. Brian Mitchell, Chase Headley, Padres, you interested? I have no idea.
Could be a Hicks attachment to
yep.
a sweetener in some move.
But instead of like DJ having to be your first baseman because Rizzo went somewhere else, now DJ can be your third baseman, your second baseman. I like him at second better. And you so have the ability to trade. There. Yeah. I just don't like him playing all over like the way they do.
Yeah. Would like him to have a spot.
And you have Cabrera and
you
to
know
do
he
that.
Can do it.
Yeah, let DJ have a day in, day out. So, you know, this is one of the moves that allows the other pieces now to get a little looser and do some more dancing. Cause I don't know when Judge is gonna sign. Could be way later. I mean, it could be the last thing that happens.
Strikes me as someone who wants to like do free agency.
Yeah, and he deserves to go get all the bottles of wine and all get told how amazing you are and have some fun.
It's only been one organization. Go talk to some people.
Yeah. So I think
your
I mean
friends here.
We'll keep it nice and tidy and quick. Rizzo's back. I'm excited about it. Because it's not the first base option wasn't that deep. And the Astros, whether that was a fake Abreu, Bell, that's kind of it.
Like Brandon Belt would have been the cheap, like,
yeah,
if Rizzo goes elsewhere, you can get him on a one.
He's
for
clearly
10,
like after Jose Abreu is the next one, I think.
Yeah.
So this was a move that happened because of the qualifying offer deadline. I don't think it speeds up anything else. We could still be waiting to early February, late January on like other moves.
Yeah, like this Tyler Anderson to the Angels happened because of the offense.
Such an Angels move.
Yeah.
That's the very type of pitcher that the Angels have no idea how to utilize. The Dodgers fixed him, so now the Angels like it'd be like them trading for Heaney back.
Yeah.
Like we just sent you to LA to get fixed and now you're back.
I thought it was gonna be like they did it now because he hasn't declined the qualifying offer yet, but we'll give you this money. But they still have to give him the draft compensation. He still declined it. So it's not that. It wasn't a big brain move at all.
Interesting.
Like I thought when they signed him to that today, I thought that was going to be like we'll give you this money so we can do it now before you've declined the qualifying offer and we get it. I don't know exactly if that's allowed. Probably not because it didn't happen that way.
Yeah. I'm not sure. This did have like somewhat of a deadline. Like it was going to happen. It's not, I don't think that the Yankees are like, oh, they're in go mode. We could be on pause for a while after
this.
It could
be a while till the next like MLB roster.
Yeah. The only thing, and we're going to wait for Jake to do a little more talk and we'll let him chat about it. But Cashman did say at one of his pressers that he wanted pitching. And I was like, oh, great. Keep saying that. And then do it. Because I don't like Montas as our four at all. At all.
Not right now.
So there you go. A nice little quick impromptu episode. Rizzo's back. I'm excited about it. I think it was a necessary move. I don't care about the money. Go good for you, Rizzo. Go get yours.
But if you care about the money, it landed in a good spot.
True. Yeah. And good for him. Like, man.
Good for everybody. It always felt right that they'd line up.
They found a way to be like, we'll give you $20 million a year, which is better than the qualifying offer, but on our books, it's going to be only $17 million a year, which is better for us than the qualifying offer.
It's nice.
Scratch my back, you scratch my back.
These nerds are good at math.
Funny thing about my back, Jules. All right.
See you guys. Thursday, I believe.
I think we're going to post an episode Thursday. Yes.
More of this and some next steps by Stephen Ridings.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye to Stephen Ridings. He's going to be a great Met.
More on that Thursday.
If he exists. See ya. Go Yanks. Tell him, Grams.
Go Yankees.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.